Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into the Christian philosophy of Herman Dooyeweerd.
Yeah, specifically his idea of a Christian ground motive.
Right, that and also his concept of the supertemporal heart, which sounds pretty complex.
It is, yeah.
But the mission here is really to understand these big ideas, their implications, and kind of give you a shortcut to grasping them.
Exactly. So Dooyeweerd talks about this religious ground motive, basically a fundamental driver behind how we think, how we act.
Like the engine of a worldview.
Pretty much. And he contrasts the Christian one with others, you know, through history.
Like the Greeks.
Yeah, the Greeks with their focus on form versus matter. Think how that shaped everything for them.
Okay.
Were the medieval thinkers.
Yeah.
Nature and grace, right? That whole dynamic.
And the Enlightenment. Nature and freedom.
Nature and freedom, yeah. Still a huge influence today, obviously.
So what's the Christian ground motive then, according to Dooyeweerd? What's driving that engine?
It boils down to creation, fall, and redemption by Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Ghost. So it's fundamentally Trinitarian.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Right. Even if maybe he didn't always spell out the Trinitarian connections explicitly in every single place.
Interesting. Didn't he have an earlier version? Something about kingdoms?
He did, yeah. Initially, he framed it more as this struggle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness.
Okay, let's unpack the Trinity part. The Father first, as the origin.
Yes, exactly. For Dooyeweerd, the Father is the ultimate origin, the arch, not just the start, but the source of all meaning. And meaning here connects to our dependence as creatures.
Our reliance on God.
Exactly. And humanity, importantly, is the image bearer, the imago Dei. All creation is kind of concentrated in us.
You can feel that dependence sometimes, can't you? That sense of relying on something beyond yourself.
Absolutely. That's a taste of what he's getting at.
So then the Son is his main role, redemption.
That's definitely central for Dooyeweerd, the Redeemer.
Right.
Now, the idea of the Son also being co-creator.
Like Kuiper emphasized.
Right. It's maybe less prominent in Dooyeweerd. He does call the Son the creating word.
Okay.
And the new religious root of the temporal cosmos. But whether that root starts right at creation or mainly functions in redemption, it's a bit ambiguous sometimes.
Mm. Does that connect to ideas like common grace?
It touches on those debates, yeah. But the core thing is Christ redirects us to the Father, the Creator, and he renews the very root of life for us and for creation.
And challenges us if we try to make parts of creation ultimate.
Exactly. When we absolutize the temporal.
Okay, so Father is origin, Son is Redeemer. What about the Holy Spirit?
For Dooyeweerd, the Spirit's work is primarily internal, transforming the hearts of the redeemed.
Making them like Christ.
Making them conform to the pattern of the Son, yes.
Yeah.
And directing them back to the Father through this inner rebirth.
How's that different from, say, Kuiper or Vollenhoven?
Well, they might have seen a more, let's say, cosmic or broader cultural role for the Spirit's work. Dooyeweerd's focus here is really quite interior.
Inner transformation, prayer.
Right. Prayer is part of the battle against apostasy, turning away from God. Mm. So you get this kind of flow, maybe a hierarchy, Father, then Son, then Spirit, working in humanity.
Right. Now, the really tricky part you mentioned, the supertemporal heart.
Ah, yes. This is, well, it's complex. It's his concept for the center of human existence, biblically speaking.
But with that supertemporal twist, above time?
That's the idea. And where he differs from Vollenhoven, for instance, it's not straightforward and people interpret it differently.
Okay, can you walk us through the main interpretations?
Sure. So one way to see it is noetic, like knowledge-based.
Meaning the heart is a special viewpoint.
Kind of. A super theoretical viewpoint. An Archimedean point, if you like, standing above all the different ways we experience reality. The logical, the physical, the ethical.
To see how they all fit together without, say, reducing everything to physics.
Exactly. To avoid reductionism. But the problem, or a potential issue, is that it seems to put the heart outside the laws God established for creation.
Yeah, that sounds like it could lead to problems. Vollenhoven had issues with that, right?
He did. He worried it plays part of humanity sort of above God's law for creation.
Okay, what's the next view?
The ontic view. This sees the heart not just as a viewpoint, but as an actual supertemporal thing, an entity.
Like a part of us exists outside of time?
Sort of, giving humanity this special intermediary role as God's image. He talked about a super bodily concentration point.
Super bodily.
Yeah, the integral center of human existence. But, you know, using terms like eternity or supertemporality based on biblical texts, is debatable.
And the danger there is?
Dualism. Splitting the human person into a timeless spiritual bit and a temporal physical bit. Many reformational thinkers, including Vollenhoven again, really push back against this.
Because it kind of dehistoricizes us, removes us from the flow of time.
Precisely. It risks creating a dualistic anthropology.
So these first two views seem tricky. Is there a third way?
There is, yeah. The religious, or maybe better, the orientational view.
Orientation, meaning direction.
Exactly. Here, the heart isn't special knowledge. It's not an entity outside time. It's the fundamental direction or orientation of the whole person.
Towards God or away from God.
Right. Supertemporal then refers to that direction, that fundamental allegiance, not a location outside time.
Like Augustine, restless hearts finding rest in God.
Very much in that vein. You have two fundamental mainsprings or dynamics. The Holy Spirit redirecting us and creation back to the Father.
And the spirit of apostasy pulling the other way.
Correct. And this battle, this orientation, unfolds in history. The city of God versus the city of man, playing out temporally.
So the fall affects our direction, not the created structures themselves.
That's the idea. Redemption then involves this religious self-reflection in Christ. It helps us see creation's diversity properly and leads us back to that central unity, loving God and neighbor.
It's not about escaping time, but living faithfully within it.
Right, in concrete community. Our character, our individuality, is expressed over time, involving all aspects of reality, with faith leading the way. Mm. It connects to his idea of encapsis, too, the structural interwovenness of things. This view fits much better, I think.
Okay, so wrapping this up. Do You Weird gives us this framework. Father as origin, Son as redeemer. Spirit working on the heart.
And this complex supratemporal heart.
Yeah. And it seems the most coherent way to understand that heart isn't as some separate thing or special knowledge.
But as the fundamental religious orientation of our whole person towards God.
Affecting everything we do in time, shaping our character.
Exactly. It really emphasizes our relationship with God right here in the midst of our temporal lives.
So final thought for you listening. What if you started thinking about your heart less as just feelings and more as this fundamental orientation?
Yep.
How might that change the choices you make or how you search for meaning? Could it push you beyond just knowing about things?
Towards a deeper sense of purpose and, well, direction.
Something to think about. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.